Psalm 137. I did not realize this, but when we were on furlough, we have acquired a reputation of being that missionary. I was a good missionary or a bad missionary. We have the reputation of being that missionary. the irreverent, will put anything in his prayer letter type of missionary. Jeremy Wilson, my good friend, called me up one time. He said, "You're the only person I know that can put a story about laxatives in your prayer letter and get away with it." So, for those of you that don't know that story, it actually is pretty funny. About 3 years ago, before all that pandemic started, there's another missionary down there, and he'd have medical teams come in and to use that as the gospel, as a tool. And so I told him, I said, "If you ever need me to translate, I can do that for you." He said, "Okay, great. We need it. We always need translators." So I went there, and I was going to be on the witnessing team. And then he told me, he said, "One of my translators didn't show up. I really need you to do the medical part." I said, "I only spoke Spanish about 2.5 years at that point. So I don't know all the words. I don't know all the medical terms." He said, "You'll be fine." So we're sitting there, and there's hundreds. And we were there for like 10 hours, just boom, 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 boom. And you spend maybe 3 minutes with each person. And they're just coming in so fast, and there's so much going on. And then one person comes in and sits, and she's speaking, and she told me, she pointed to her chest and her stomach, and she said, "Tengo ardor." And I'm like, "What's this word?" I knew what the other, I said, "What's this ardor? I don't know what this word means." So she rubbed her stomach, so I told the nurse lady, I said, "She can't go to the bathroom." So she goes, "Okay, we'll give her a laxative." I said, "Okay." And that happened about 6 or 7 times. And so I really wasn't sure what the word was, but I thought, I really need to figure out what this word is. So then we had like a 5-minute break, so I pulled up my phone, looked up Spanish dictionary, and they were saying they had heartburn. And I was telling them they all were constipated. So she about after the 6th or 7th one, she said, "Man, there's a lot of constipation here." I said, "I know." Once I saw the word, I'm like, I am not telling her what I just did. I just hope that's a side effect is cure the heartburn there. I'm not sure. So We have acquired a reputation for being that goofy missionary. But today it's going to be a little more serious. Today it's going to be, I'm going to show you my heart. Because sometimes when you go through rough times and you go through dark valleys, Lord is always there, right? He's always good. He's always good. For those of you that don't know, we were missionaries in Costa Rica for 5 years. We just came back 12 days ago. Still freezing. Our blood has not thickened up at all. We went from 85 degrees to what I imagine hell would be like out here. I'm not really sure. I do feel that way, okay? I really do. We got stuck in the driveway twice. We're used to just saying, "Okay, I put my coat on and go." But now we have to start the car and get coats on and get boots on and then hope we don't get stuck in the driveway. So it's been fun. It's been fun. We're going to Psalm 137. And today I want to preach about a psalm that's not very comforting. It's not very positive. Because usually when you think about the Psalms, you think of, what do you think about when you think of the Psalms? You think of comfort, you think of, you know, praising the Lord, you think of encouragement and joy. I actually preached a sermon 2 weeks ago in Spanish. I haven't preached this one in English yet. So while I was getting this ready yesterday, I kind of had a rough day. My wife had a rough day. We miss our church people. We really do. But that's okay, because the Lord knows best, right? The Lord knows better. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, thank you for these church people here. Lord, I don't know everyone here. But Lord, the ones I do know, I love, Lord. And the ones I don't know, I'm sure if I knew them, I would love them too. Lord, I'm thankful for each one of these people here. Thankful for this opportunity to preach. Lord, I ask you just to speak through me, get me out of the way. Just give them what you've given me out of this. And if it is your will in your name, amen. Psalm 137. All right, Brother Lloyd is not here. I always feel pressure when Brother Lloyd Bull is here because he always tells me I don't understand the words you're saying. So I will try to speak slowly. I have a habit of speaking too fast. So I always say this every time I preach. If I'm going fast, tell me to slow down. Okay? I won't look up. I won't listen anyway, but just try to tell me. Just try to tell me. So when you think of the Psalms, you always think of positive things. You always think of happy things. Brother Rick DeMichael, a pastor out in Idaho, several years ago went through a rough time where he was had leukemia. And he said all he could read was the Psalms for 1.5 years. That's all he read. He So you just got a whole bunch of comfort out of that. And it is a very comforting book. And we see have David when he's there, when he's running from Saul. We see all these comforting things. We see Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 19, Psalm 119. We have a whole bunch of comforting, wonderful songs. But I am a true Bible believer, therefore I focus on the negative, right? That's how we do it. That is how we do it. Psalm 137, one time we have family devotions. I would like to say faithfully, but not that faithfully. We try, but life gets in the way. But we had family devotions, and we read this psalm a few months back, and it really stuck out to me because we've been going through a lot of stuff for the last 5 or 6 months. It's just been really rough. And I saw this psalm, and I thought, this is a very interesting psalm. I'm going to read this psalm. Psalm 137 says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stone. I'm sorry, I thought that was on silent. I get one text a day, it's usually asking for money. So I think I'm joking. We took a 2.5 month furlough last year, and I got back. The first 2 days I was back, I had 3 people call me up, ask for money. So I was like, that's the missionary part of life you don't see. They think we're a bank account. I'm the white guy with money. Hi, Don. I haven't seen you in a long time. How are you? Sorry, I tend to get distracted occasionally, too. Okay, so Psalm, if you read this, Psalm 136. It's a great psalm. We'll go to Psalm 136 here. We're not going to read the whole psalm, because it's 26 verses. But something interesting about this psalm. Psalm 136, verse 1 says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords. Why? For his mercy endureth forever. If you read this entire chapter, all 26 verses end with that phrase, for his mercy endureth forever. It's like the chorus of the song. And it's actually good. Think about another sermon, like what is the course of my life? You know, how for his mercy endureth forever. It's a wonderful psalm, very comforting psalm. You read verse Psalm 138. The whole psalm is, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Psalm 138:1, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Verse 2, I'll worship thee. Verse 3, so I will cry, in the day when I cry, thou answerest me. All 8 verses, nothing but positive, how Jesus hears us and how God hears us and in the times of trouble. And he does. He really does. Psalm 136, for his mercy endureth forever. And it does. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. 138, positive. Psalm 137, it's like a negative sandwich right there. Right? Like a PB&J or PB&N. Peanut butter negativity right there. Okay? That's all that is, just pure negativity. And I want to focus on that today because there are sometimes, I want to focus on verse 4. There's sometimes we don't want to sing. We really don't. Verse 4 of Psalm 137. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Who here feels like singing 100% of the time? Nobody. We don't, do we? I'm in a strange land. I really am. I know I grew up here. I was born in Northwest Indiana, lived the first 27 years of my life here. Math, homeschooling, not a good thing, not a good combination. But I lived the first 27 years of my life here. And we went to Ohio, we went to the mission field, we came back. And some of you have said this, and I thank you for it, and you're very kind. But I've heard so many times, welcome back home. This isn't home. This isn't home for us. This is nothing against Indiana. Ohio is not home for me either. My home is where I spent 5 years learning the language, 5 years learning the culture. I went to my brother and sister-in-law's house the other day, and out of habit, I walked in the door and I said, permiso. And Bethany, my little niece, said, what'd you say? I said, I'm used to asking permission to go in the house. My mother-in-law, my poor mother-in-law, spent about 12 years trying to get me to give her a hug. I hate hugs, okay? She spent 12 years trying to get me to give her a hug. And I give her a hug very begrudgingly, but I still give her a hug. Down there, we give everyone a hug when you come in and when you leave. I'm in a strange land. My family is in a strange land. And I don't want to sing. We're not always, Cindy, the lady that just buried her husband yesterday. She's in a strange land. She doesn't want to sing. We're not always in the mood to sing. We don't always want to sit there and shout to the Lord and read Psalms and say, you know, I will praise the Lord. We don't always want to do that. That's humanity. That's life. Life is very rough. You don't always get what you want. You almost never get what you want, really, if you think about it. You never do. If I got what I want, the Cubs would win the World Series every year. I got it one time in my life, and I'll never see it again, okay? Never. It's very true. Thank you. It's the biggest amen I'll get all day right there. But we don't always want to sing. Sometimes we want to do verse 2. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. We just want to stick our harps in the wall and say, I don't want to sing. I don't want to sing. We really don't, do we? And maybe perhaps the strange land isn't necessarily geography. We have problems with health. We have problems with family. A wayward child. We're in a strange land. We don't want to sing. We don't want to sit there and sing the top of our lungs with joy. We really don't. Obviously, you guys know, the ones that have known me for a while, I don't have the greatest singing voice. I really don't. God did not bless me with that. He blessed me with other things. A very handsome face. Humility. Blessed me with humility as well. He did not bless me with a good song, a singing voice. You can ask my church people down there in Costa Rica. I was not the worst in church, though. That is for sure. I wasn't even close to the worst in church. And there were others that were much louder than me and not nearly as good as I am. So we always sang. The Bible doesn't say make a good noise. It says make a joyful noise. So we had that part down. We did. But there's not always a time when we want to sing. Like I said, we're in different areas. And honestly, though, we're all in a strange land. This world is not our home. What's the Bible say we are? We're pilgrims. We're just passing through this dump. Really? That's what this world is. I mean, everyone's fighting over everything, more money and more power and more land. Look at Russia and Ukraine trying to fight each other. And Biden's fluffing whatever little brain cells he has left. And we're all trying to fight. It's all going to burn up anyway, isn't it? It's all going to burn up. Who cares? This isn't my home. I'm in a strange land. But verse 4, how shall I sing the Lord's song in a strange land? What do we do when we don't feel like singing? What do we do when life feels rough and then everything is just wrong? What do? We sing. We sing. Verse 3, Psalm 137:3 says, for they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. They said, you got to sing. So what do you do when you don't feel like singing? You sing anyway. You sing out of obligation. You sing because you have to. If you go to, we're not going to go there, but if you go to 2 Corinthians 8, King David had singers every single day. He had all these Levites, all these singers. Every single day they sang. You think those Levites woke up every morning saying, I feel like singing today? Maybe some days, yes. But I'm sure some days they had a sore throat. I'm sure some days they didn't get a good night's sleep. The neighbor's dog barked. That's something in Costa Rica, they bark all the time. I snuck out and threw walnuts at their head, and I always missed them, but they always ran away. So it worked, because they stopped barking for about 10 minutes. And then they bark again. And I throw another walnut at their head and miss them again, but that's okay. They didn't always want to sing. They didn't always want to sing, those Levites. But what did they do? That was your job, to sing. That's our job as Christians. Perhaps not to go out in the corner and sing a solo, to praise the Lord. Singing is praising the Lord, is it not? We don't always want to go to church on Sundays. We don't wake up Sunday morning saying, oh great, it's 3 degrees out. Who wants to go to church? Not me, okay? I want to go back where it's 95 degrees out, where we had church and we sweat through my clothes. Yeah, I didn't wear suits down there because it was too hot. I did not. I wore a tie, and my wife has always said, keep your arms on because you sweat through your pits all the way. It's disgusting. She always said that to me. And so I always kept my arms like this. I was very self-conscious about it. But we don't always want to go to church. We don't always want to sing. We don't always want to put on a happy face. Life hurts. The devil hurts. The world hurts. Other Christians hurt. They all hurt us. But am I responsible for you guys? No. Are you guys responsible for me? No. But who am I responsible for? Me. And I need to sing. The Bible says sing. And first of all, if you know it says, if you sing out of obligation, if you're not singing, what are you doing? If you're not singing, what are you doing? Complaining. Griping. Telling the Lord, this isn't fair. Life isn't fair. Life is not fair. But if we tell the Lord and we complain to the Lord and say, Lord, this isn't fair. I have church people I had to leave. I have like 50 people down there that don't have a pastor now. They go to a different church now, but it's not the same. They text us and I train my people down there. They still have rules and stupid regulations. You still have to wear a mask. You still have to take your temperature and all this. And me being the good Baptist, I didn't follow a single one. I did not obey a single one. Fortunately, the cops never came by, so we never got in trouble. But they had real issues, like dead people everywhere that were murdered. But then we took them to a different church to get them ready. And the church, they all had to stand in line and wash their hands and wear a mask and get their temperature taken. And they all my church people said, what's this? I said, we don't like this. We want to go back to our church. The Ticos down there called me the rebellious son because I refused to obey the rules of the government. But our church people said, we don't like this. We want you back. I can't, what I tell them? We got to sing anyway. We sing out of obligation because if we're not singing, we're complaining and we're getting further from God. Whereas if we just sing, even if we don't feel like it, what happens? You're still obeying the Lord. You're still doing what you're supposed to do. And I notice if you sing, even out of obligation, what happens? You sing that first song, grumpy, right? We all sing that first song, grumpy. Second song, not as grumpy. Third song, we're getting better. Fourth song, we're kind of happy. Fifth song, I'm liking it. Sixth song, yeah. Seventh song, oh, that's it. But if we say, no, I don't want to because I don't feel like it, we're not going to ever get to that point, are we? You sing out of obligation. You do what you have to do because we're supposed to follow the Lord. That's what we do. So first of all, we sing out of obligation. Psalm 13:6. But why do we sing? Psalm 13:6. We're going to stay in Psalm a lot today. We sing out of obligation because it sure beats the alternative of complaining and telling the Lord how rotten he is. Because the Lord isn't rotten. Who's rotten? We are, right? We're the rotten ones. But if we sit there and we complain and we tell the Lord that this isn't fair, we're going to just get further and further and further away. So we sing out of obligation. But then we sit down and we think about it. I'm thinking, why should I sing? I sing because I have to. So I'm going to start singing. I'm getting a little happier. I'm singing. Psalm 13:6 says, I will sing unto the Lord. Because why? Because he has treated me okay sometimes. Because he has dealt bountifully with me. We sing for the stuff, for what the Lord has done for us. We sing for what the Lord has done for us. Man, I don't deserve anything. I really don't. I don't deserve 5 kids. I don't deserve a wife. I don't deserve to go to the mission field. I don't deserve to even stand here preaching. But the Lord gave me all this. He gave me health. He didn't make me very tall, but that's okay. I can deal with it. I really can. I was showing pictures to Chris back there. I said, I was proving to him I was the tallest person in my church down there. I really was. I was so proud of that. Tuesday night, I took Gabby, my dad, and Gabby and Joab, and I went to the Rensselaer High School basketball game. And we're used to being the tallest. And Gabby's walking around. She's saying, I'm short again. She's like, I come to everyone's shoulders. They came to our shoulders. Now we're coming to everyone else's shoulders. But we sing for what the Lord has done for us. Man, we don't deserve this. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve eternal life. We don't deserve a Savior that died for us. We don't deserve anything. So when we sing, we sing out of obligation. We start remembering, Lord did this for us. We're going to go to Exodus 15. Exodus 15:1. This whole sermon, the purpose of this sermon is to get us from a point where we're depressed to the point where we're singing for the Lord. And that first step is making yourself do it, even if you don't want to. Take that first step and start singing out of obligation. But then remember, we sing for the stuff that the Lord has done for us. Exodus 15:1 says, Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown to the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I'll prepare him in habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. We sing because even though we're in that strange land, the Jews here wandering around this wilderness, the Red Sea opens up, the miracle swallows up Pharaoh's land. We sing because even if we're in a strange land, God still gives us victories. We still have victories, no matter where we're at. Jews had no business winning that fight. None. But they won the victory. God gave us victories. I have entire families down there in Costa Rica that we have won to the Lord. I have baptized entire families. That was a strange land when we first went down there. But I have victories down there. We had victories. My wife and I, our family, we had victories down there. And you know what? That's not going to be the last victory that God's given us. We have so many more coming. But if I sit down and say, Lord, it's not fair. I'm going to sit down there and I'm not going to sing. Those victories aren't coming, are they? What happened to the Jews? They said, I don't want to leave Egypt. I want to stay back there. But what happened? And that Red Sea never would have opened. Pharaoh never would have been swallowed up by the Red Sea. We sing for the stuff the Lord has done for us. He still gives us victories, even if we are in a strange land. Look at Daniel. Look at all the Jews for hundreds of years. We still sing because of that. And then later, we go to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, verse 19. I always joke, the first 3 years I preached in Spanish, I refused to preach out of this book because I cannot say the word in Spanish because it's virtually impossible. So, you guys, Deuteronomio, you guys try saying that really fast. It's really hard. I avoided Deuteronomy and Thessalonians like the plague. Like, there are 63 other books I can preach out of, and we're going to use those, okay? Deuteronomy 31, verse 19. We sing out of obligation. We sing because of what the Lord has done for us. We sing so we don't forget. Man, we're humans. We have one problem. What's our biggest flaw as humans? We forget. Don't we? We forget. And I'm not talking about leaving your keys and leaving this and that. When we were on furlough last year, I was so busy, so stressed. I got in the car with another preacher. And I said, oh, wait. And we started back. I said, wait, I left my wallet, my phone in the house. So I ran inside the house. Then I realized it in my pockets. So then I ran back in the car and didn't tell them where they were. So I got them. Let's go. I didn't tell them where they were. But as human beings, we forget the blessings of God, do we not? That's the first thing we forget. We go through these problems. We go through these difficulties. We forget what the Lord has done for us. Deuteronomy 31:19 says, now therefore write ye this song for you and teach it the children of Israel and put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. We're going to jump down to verse 21. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them. Because that happens to us, doesn't it? Maybe not every day, but definitely every week. We have something happen to us. That this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imaginations which they go about even now. Before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Man, we have a horrible, horrible tendency to forget the blessings of the Lord. Do we not? We do. We look at our problems like Peter. When he's walking on the water, he's looking at Jesus. Everything is cool. Everything is great. And the waves come. Peter looks at the waves. What happens? Man, he's thinking instantly. We're the same way. Everything's good, going good with us. We have the blessings of the Lord in front of us. We're bebopping along saying, look at these blessings. Everything's going great. And then the problems come, and we look at the problems. We don't look to the Lord, do we? We look to the problems. We look to the Lord and complain. How could you let this happen to me? This isn't fair. This isn't right. Look at all this stuff, this junk that's going on. And we forget the blessings of the Lord. We forget the victories that we won. Man, look at the children of Israel. They won Exodus 15, singing a song. By the next chapter, they're complaining. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I'm hot. I'm tired. They're probably like little kids in the car. How long until we're there? I have to go to the bathroom. You know those kids? Oh, when you drive a lot, you hear that a lot. That's just my wife. No, I'm just joking. No. Sorry, that's just me, actually. Okay. It's great being the driver. I can stop when I want to. But we forget the Lord's blessings, do we not? We forget. So we sing. We sing so I don't forget everything that God has given me. I sing so I remember my babies down in Costa Rica that I won to the Lord. And I know that they're there. And I remember, I might not see them the rest of my life here. I might not. But but I'll see them in heaven. I will spend the rest of eternity with them down there. I know one's already waiting for me. Juan Alberto's up there waiting for me. So that's a blessing. That's a victory I won. I need to sing so I remember what God has done for me, so I do not forget. Isaiah 35, another reason we sing. Another reason we sing. Because the stuff that the Lord's going to do. Isaiah 35:10. We sing for the stuff that he has done for us. We sing so we don't forget that stuff. But we sing for the stuff that's coming. Oh, man. This is the worst we're ever going to see it in our lifetime. You know that? We will never, when we die, we can't even imagine heaven. We really can't. We try to describe it, but our minds are finite. And we can't really describe heaven. But this is the worst we're ever going to have it in our lifetime. We're going to go to heaven. We're going to be with Jesus. We're going to walk on the street of gold. We're never going to have to sleep. I like sleeping, though, but so maybe that's not that good of a positive. But we're never going to have to sleep in it. We're going to have all this stuff up in heaven. Isaiah 35:10 says, "And the ransomed of the Lord." Who's that? That's us. It's Christians. Jesus ransomed us with his blood. "And the ransom and the Lord shall return. And come to Zion with what? With tears? With groanings? With complaints? With songs and what? Everlasting what? Joy. Everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and what's going to flee away? And sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Man, we got something awesome waiting for us in heaven. We cannot even imagine it. We really can't. We can sit there and try, but we're really never going to reach that. But we sing for the stuff that's coming. Oh, Lord, he deserves it, doesn't he? Maybe I'm grumpy. Maybe I don't want to sing. Maybe my harp's hanging on. I don't play a harp. But maybe my harp's hanging on the wall. But man, the Lord's coming. And I'm going to sing for that. Sing, "The redeemed of the Lord, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy." Everlasting means we'll be happy for 5 minutes, right? What's everlasting? Man, everlasting, not to be too blunt, too redundant there. We're going to have joy forever. We're not going to have sighing. We're not going to cry. We're not going to miss anybody. The missionary life is full of goodbyes. Really. I did not realize how many goodbyes there were. But man, when we get to heaven, there are no more goodbyes. None. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. We're going to go to Isaiah 26, verse 1. Isaiah 26, verse 1. It says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in." The song's going to be sung. We're going to be singing. And we're going to be singing. We're going to be thanking the Lord for what he's done, because we win in the end. And no matter what's going on in the world, I read Revelation. Spoiler alert, right? We win. We really do. It's awesome. We're worrying for no reason whatsoever. We're going to win. So why are we not wanting to sing? Yeah, it's rough now, but God's in control. God's in control. God has it all in his hand. And the devil's sitting there beating his chest like a little bully, thinking that he's winning. And we all know who's going to win, don't we? So we're going to sing. Sing for what the Lord will do to us. Will do for us, excuse me. Go back to we're gonna go back to Deuteronomy 31:19. Deuteronomy 31:19. It's not easy, but we have to learn how to sing in the bad times. It's not something automatic. It really isn't. And maybe sometimes our song won't be as loud. Maybe sometimes it'll be strangled out with tears. But we need to learn how to sing. We really do. Deuteronomy 31, we're going to read verse 19 again. "Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that the song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel." We need to learn how to sing in the bad times. I'm not saying you can't be sad. You can't. That's a normal human emotion, and you should grieve. You really should grieve. I'm not saying you can't sit there and sit to the side and just wait. We're allowed to do that. We're allowed to have a time of grieving, a time of mourning. That's perfectly allowed. But we always need to sing. But we need to learn how to do it correctly. As a parent, I have 5 kids. I had to teach my kids how to praise the Lord, no matter what. If I tell the kids, no, this isn't fair, it's not fair. Some dictator down there decides to pass some law, and there's, I know personally, 4 missionary families that left Costa Rica because of this. It's not fair. And I can get mad at the dictator down there, and I have secretly wished many horrible things on him that I wouldn't say in church, because then you guys would get mad at me. So we won't go there. But I have to teach my kids, God's still good. And we're still going to sing. We're still going to sing in the bad times. Jesus Christ had to learn obedience, the Bible says. I need to learn how to sing in the good times and in the bad times. I need to learn that perhaps God closes the door. And it doesn't matter. God's still good. God is still good. There are Ticos that are in heaven right now, not because of me, but because of us going down there. There are Ticos that are going to go to heaven in the future because we were able to win them for the Lord. God's not done. I don't feel God's done with me. I know he's not done with me. He's got other jobs for us. But I got to learn how to sing during these bad times. I really do. We all do. Psalm 143, verse 10. Psalm 143, verse 10. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to get emotional. Sometimes it just hurts. Sometimes it really hurts. My wife told me that I cared about our church people too much. And I did. I cared about them with all my heart. But Lord loves them more than I love them. Does he not? Lord loves those people more than I do. I know he'll take care of them. Psalm 143:10 says, teach me. Teach me to do thy will. Lord, I don't want to do your will all the time. Lord, I don't want to sing all the time. Lord, I don't want to praise you all the time. But teach me how to do it. Teach me how to do it. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. And God's good all the time. Although I can't see the stuff that's going on, I can't see the full picture. God does. And he's always good. Always good. I need to learn how to praise him through every time. When we remember everything, when we remember everything, when we sing, it'll be genuine. It will be genuine. There's nothing more. I love hearing churches sing. We went to a church outside Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Oh man, they sing. There weren't very many people. Maybe what, 55? Less? 45 maybe? But they had a small building, low ceilings. Oh, those people about made me deaf with their singing. They sang. It was good. Good singing. Not bad singing, good singing. But they about made me deaf with how loud they sang, how high they sang, and can it be? Oh man, I just bust out crying. It was awesome. There's nothing better than hearing the Lord's people singing to him. Nothing better. There are times we're down there, and I sit there, in our church, we were awful. Our singing was awful. There were times where, one time, our internet went out, so because we did YouTube videos, and we tried singing a cappella one song, one verse, and I said, let's just stop. It's that bad. But when we had music, it was awesome hearing them. Man, they did not hit a key to save their life. They were flat, they were sharp, they were all over the place. But it was awesome. Just hearing these kids singing, Vine adorarte, vine a postrarme. And I hear these little kids, little 13-year-old Juliet, who I knew that morning, got up, walked around her passed out drunk parents, got her 3-year-old sister ready, and came down to church by herself. I hear her singing. I hear little Sammy, who at the beginning came with welding knives trying to stab other kids in church. I hear him singing. I hear those other church people. I knew what they were. Drug dealers, crackheads. They're in church singing to the Lord, saying how much they love him. We have a man named Carlos. He never sang. He'd sit there and he'd go like this. He loved the singing. He'd just sit there and just close his eyes and rub his face and just listen to the singing because he loved it. And there's nothing better than a congregation singing to the Lord out of a genuine heart. That's awesome. That's just awesome. But when God hears us singing, when we learn to sing in the bad times, it's genuine. And God's up there and he's listening to it. He's like, this is great. This is awesome. This is awesome. One more point. Psalm 40, verse 3. Psalm 40, verse 3. How shall we sing in a strange land? We don't always want to sing, do we? We don't. There's bills to be paid. There are broken relationships, maybe a lost job, maybe health issues. We don't always want to sing, but we sing out of obligation. We sing for what the Lord has done for us. We sing so we don't forget the good things. We sing because of what he's going to do for us. We have to learn how to sing in the bad times. When we remember it all and when we sing, it's got to be genuine. But when we do that all, Psalm 40, verse 3. No, we're going to start in verse 1. Psalm 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Man, we all feel like we're in that part, aren't we? We all feel that at some point we're in that part. Verse 3, this is the best part. And he has put what in our mouth? A new song in my mouth. Man, when you do this, we're going to get a new song. We're going to get a new song put in our mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust the Lord. What happens when we have this new song? We're affecting other people. What happens if I sit down and gripe? Oh, I'm affecting other people. I'm affecting my family for bad. I'm teaching them it's okay to complain to the Lord. I'm teaching them it's okay to quit on the Lord. But if I do all this and I sing and God gives me a new song, I'm affecting all these other people for what? So they put their trust in the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. That's our job as Christians. Be an example. Be a witness. We have this new song, praise. The Bible says, many shall see it. And they're going to fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. We're going from one bad attitude aspect over here, looking at our issues, to all the way over here. And Lord gives us a new song. Hopefully he gives us a new voice. Maybe he'll like my singing then, I don't know. Maybe, we can hope so. But if we learn to sing in the bad times, God puts a new song, a song of praise in our mouth. I looked up, I think there's 5 or 6 times in Psalms where it says a new song. God puts a new song in our mouth. It gets old singing the old songs, doesn't it? Sometimes you just sing the same songs over and over and over. And it's kind of like, can we sing a different song? And then God says, I got a new song for you. You put it in your mouth. I like this song, Lord. Thank you. This song's great. Singing about praising the Lord, trusting the Lord. Lord is always there. Lord is always good. Gives us a new song. So we see here in Psalm 137, it's kind of depressing. And I'm sorry if it's kind of a downer message. But life isn't always bubbly, right? Life isn't always rainbows and butterflies and unicorns and whatever else they say. If it's always ice cream, I'd be happy, but it's not. It's not. A lot of times it's garlic. Garlic is awful. Garlic is from the devil. It really is. A lot of times life is not fun. Life is not great. Life is over here. But if we live like Eeyore, man, why are they going to look at us and say, oh, I want to be like that Christian Eeyore over there. Or do we want to be like this, with that new song that God gave us. Learn to sing in the bad times. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, we love you. Lord, even in the bad times, you are still good. Even in times when we're in pain, in times when we don't want to sing, you still deserve our praise. You still deserve our best. And Lord, we thank you for that. Help us. Help us. Teach us to do your will. Teach us to sing in the bad times. Teach us to be an example to others. That even though we're going through rough times, we can still have the joy of the Lord. We can still sing. Lord, we know you're coming back soon. Lord, please put that new song in our mouth. If it is your will, in your name, amen.